Hello, welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Evan Brand. Thanks for joining me. I'm board certified in holistic nutrition. I'm a functional nutritional therapy practitioner. I help people around the world resolve their health issues by using at-home functional medicine lab tests. We look at organic acids tests, stool tests, chemical profiles, mycotoxins. We can measure pesticides, heavy metals, measure hormones. We can look at blood. A lot of times blood isn't super helpful compared to the functional labs unless there's something really wrong with you. But I have a whole toolbox and I apply that toolbox as needed, where it's needed. Anywhere from women that wish to get pregnant to one-year-old babies to 85-year-old clients, I see them all, and it's a true blessing to help so many people. I've helped over 3,000 cases in the last decade. Over 26 million of you guys have downloaded this podcast in the last 11 or 12 years, so thank you for that support. And I love doing what I do here, and I hope that out of this episode today, you'll have a greater understanding of the potential autoimmune risk associated with having gut imbalances. So your gut microbiome can literally be the trigger for you to have not only Hashimoto's, but many other autoimmune diseases. And this is a huge problem. And unfortunately, if you go to the conventional doctor, they're very behind when it comes to this connection between certain bacterial infections and autoimmune diseases. I hope within the next 5 to 10 years, it's totally different, but if you or your loved one, if you have autoimmune symptoms, you have weird gut symptoms, weird mood symptoms, weird thyroid issues, temperature regulation problems, sleep issues, you name it, all that could be stemming from your guts. That's what we're gonna dive into today with my buddy, Dr. J. Him and I have done hundreds of episodes together, so we have a good rapport with each other. Just a couple of things before we get into the show. I announced on my Instagram page a video there, and tons of you loved it, and we sold out of the electrolytes almost instantly. We just got a new batch of those, so that is my hydration essentials. So if you want to, you can access those by using the link in your show notes, or if you just go to the site Aura Roots, A-U-R-A, Roots, R-O-O-T-S.com. That's my professional supplement company. What does professional supplement mean? Well, that means that I'm only allowed to access these manufacturers because of my healthcare credentials, whereas other random Joe Schmoes can go to any random contract manufacturer, gather a bunch of ingredients, and throw it together. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying that when we use these practitioner-grade manufacturers, they are incredibly anal about humidity, monitoring the purity, the potency of everything. I mean, this is like guys that their entire career is dedicated to testing every little micronutrient, making sure everything is perfect. So the hydration essentials are great. If you're used to Element, that's Rob Wolf and his wife, and I don't know who else is involved, but that's blown up. It's huge. You go on Amazon, and that's just a massive behemoth in terms of sales numbers. However, the formula is really, really boring, and you're going to do way better if you have vitamin C and taurine and some of these other flavonoids that help you to regulate your electrolytes. And so I just had a scoop of it this morning with some water, gave some to my kids, and they're ready to go and start the day. So that's Hydration Essentials. You can grab some now. We just resupplied, so check it out. AuraRoots.com has it, or check the link in your show notes. It should be right there. And then we have about 25 new students here the last month. So I'm really excited to have you all in the various functional medicine courses. Better Belly is my most popular course. Better Belly is the course where I'll teach you, if you have gut issues, I'll teach you how to run your own lab test, and then I'll teach you how to actually fix those. So you'll be able to look at before and after case studies of people just like you, and then you'll be able to look at, okay, what went wrong with them and how did he fix them? So that's Better Belly. I have a free masterclass. You can watch it. There's no catch to it. It's just a free course masterclass. And if you like it and you want to go further, then you can enroll into the course. So that's Better Belly. All right, well, let's get into the show and I'll get back to daddy duty for now.
And we are live, Dr. J here in the house with Evan Brand. Evan, how are we doing today, my friend? What's cooking?
Hey, doing good. We're going to be cooking some intestinal bacteria here, talking about how this can be a big trigger for autoimmune issues. You know, you walk around, whether it's at church or the shopping mall, if anybody goes to those anymore because of Amazon, or maybe just a grocery store, right? And you see crippled people, you see people that are hunched over, you see people that clearly have issues with their joints, they're limping, they seem like they're having trouble, or you just watch people trying to get out of their car in a parking lot. You know, like we're in this epidemic of people that have chronic illness, and
unfortunately, those people are not getting the proper help they need, and their GI doctor is not telling them that the bacteria in their gut could be driving their reactive arthritis, or maybe their ankylosing spondylitis, or their RA, or their other autoimmune condition. So we're going to try to break apart like what's happening internally, and then how that could be leading to these multi-system chronic inflammatory diseases.
100%. I mean, when you look at autoimmune issues, the microbiome plays a massive role, partly because 80% of the immune system is in the gut. Also, we have these toll-like receptors in the gut. And these toll-like receptors, they're the centurion guard for microbes, for food, for different endotoxin stressors, maybe for Roundup or glyphosate or different chemicals coming in, molds. And so when these guards essentially see an invader, they kind of get ready, right? They're in a defensive attack mode. And that could mean they activate the immune system. They can activate things like nuclear factor kappa beta. They can activate other types of interleukins, and they can rev up your immune system. And when your immune system is overactive, you know, you can have inflammation part of the response. I mean, when you have a war, it's very rare that there's like no damage, right? Even if you're the guy that's winning the war, you're still dropping a lot of bombs and creating a lot of damage. Well, that's happening with your gut and with your immune system. And so, of course, as a collateral damage, some of these things, you're going to have gut permeability, leaky gut, and this elevated zonulin protein as a byproduct, and that activates the immune system. And then part of what Evan was talking about is we have this autoimmune collateral damage that can happen where your immune system starts to go after invaders. It starts to see microbes in the gut as invaders, and these surface proteins on some of these microbes look similar to tissues in the body. And then when the immune system starts attacking these tissues, you can have what's called autoimmune peripheral damage occur. So for instance, we were talking earlier in our kind of pre-show here about Klebsiella. Klebsiella is a dysbiotic bacteria that we see commonly elevated on some of the stool testing that we do, some of the genetic stool testing. And we see Klebsiella is associated with ankylosing spondylitis. You may see this HLA-B27 blood marker come back as well. And ankylosing spondylitis is an autoimmune condition that attacks the SI joint, starts to create fusion at the superior part of the SI joint. And so that's not good because we want to make sure our hip and our iliac and SI joint move appropriately so we have good function and good movement. And so that's just one bacteria and one autoimmune condition from there. We can spiral out into other things such as RA as well, and even rheumatoid arthritis where other joints start to get attacked. And then we can even connect into other types of irritable bowel diseases from there. But what are your thoughts, Evan?
Well, I want to just go right into this case study because I think this is helpful for people to see how this manifests. So this is a little girl, 1.5 years old. So if people are thinking this is a rare problem, or they're thinking this is something that only happens to people when they're 60 and beyond or something, no, this happens very, very early on. Maybe this is related to birth. Maybe there was a lack of probiotics at birth. Maybe there was, in this case, this little girl, their family was surrounded by farmland and a lot of crops that were being sprayed. She had issues with bad breath. She got agitated very easily. The parents said that she was definitely whinier than normal. The mom lived in a moldy home while she was pregnant. There was a lot of skin issues. In her case, there was not a diagnosed autoimmune disease because at a year and a half, you know, there's just most of the doctors are not thinking autoimmune disease. But when you look at her stool, her GI map, you'll see that on page 2, right out of the gate, there was already an H. pylori problem. And people say, well, how does this happen to me? Like, where do these bacteria come from? And then how does this happen? Well, H. pylori is very contagious. So for example, let's say the mother had H. pylori. Maybe she shared a cup with the little girl. The little girl got H. pylori that then weakened the gut barrier. And then when you get to the keystone, these good guys, in theory, if you have enough good bacteria, hopefully you could crowd out some of the bad guys and keep things at bay. But in her case, you can see that some of the keystone commensal bacteria were just too low. So then when we get down here to the overgrowth category, you could see that, I mean, for a year and a half, this is pretty messy. And there wasn't Klebsiella in her case, but there was Citrobacter you see creeping up, and then Proteus was already up. And then a whole big mess of Staph and Strep and Pseudomonas, Morganella, et cetera.
Yeah, especially when you look at some of these things. I don't mind some of the Bacillus being there because a lot of times that's more spore-based and can help. But when you look at the Morganella, people see like, oh, well, the reference range says 1.0. And then you're 1.443. That's not bad. Well, remember, that's e to the 3 means how many zeros come after the decimal place, right? So you got to move the decimal place 3 times to the right. And so That means Morganella is 143 times higher than the reference range. That's a big deal. Or Pseudomonas, 400 times higher. So people look at it and they just say, oh, well, you know, it's only four and the reference range is one. Well, it's really 400 times. So it's easy to look at that and kind of get a little bit, you know, twisted with some of the standard deviation stuff.
And on the on what's called the white paper, this is basically like a geekier version of a handout to some of the stool testing we do. Even the lab tells us here, like in healthy individuals, opportunistic pathogens should not present a problem if there's a healthy gastrointestinal barrier, if there's good levels of commensal bacteria and a strong immune defense. But as you mentioned already, if the intestinal barrier is breached, these normally harmless opportunistic microbes now pass through the leaky barrier, creating a greater infection and greater illness. And so then that's when you get into trouble. That's where it starts to ramp up the risk of, as you mentioned, this whole like autoimmune molecular mimicry type issue, where now these bugs are triggering the autoimmune reaction. And we've seen this in kids too, where even 5, 6, 7 years old, they're diagnosed with juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. And 99 out of 100 of those stool tests, they're going to look messy. You're going to see issues with infection on those stool tests.
Exactly. So we talked about it. We'll talk about a couple bacteria. We talked about Klebsiella, and that's associated with ankylosing spondylitis, right? And then, but we also, these bacteria, a lot of times, especially in the dysbiotic side, are going to be gram negative. So that means they have an outer cell wall. So they have two cell walls. So I kind of tell patients, imagine it's like the moat. Think of Game of Thrones and like a castle, right? It's got a moat around the outside. That's the first cell wall. And then you have the castle wall. That's the second. So with the moat, imagine there being alligators in the moat or some kind of like, you know, spikes or something, right? Well, that's the outer cell wall is called lipopolysaccharide or an endotoxin layer. And that layer is actually toxic, puts a stress on the liver. And so you have a lot of bacteria literally producing endogenous toxins, endogenous meaning toxins from within. And that's putting stress on your liver. And then we may have maybe add in some mycotoxins, whether it's acetaldehyde from fungus in the body from candida or mycotoxins from the environment. Now we have all these things that are activating our immune system. They're activating these toll-like receptors. They're increasing zonulin. They're activating this nuclear factor kappa beta and FKB pathways that are just accelerating inflammation. So we have, let's say, Klebsiella out of the gates, right? And then let's say we add in some Prevotella. Right, Prevotella is going to be associated with RA issues. And so the likelihood now of your immune system starting to tag the bacteria and then go after other peripheral tissue in the body goes up. So the more inflammation we have, the more things start to become a problem. Now you can throw in some environmental molds. Now we have immune system distress from within, from the food, from the bacteria. Now we're eating maybe a poor diet as well. That starts to accelerate it. Now we're starting to get stressed and we're not breaking down our food well. That starts to create more stress in the gut. Maybe we start to develop some atrophic gastritis because the gut lining is getting very thin. Now we're maybe the antibiotics are creating, we have an infection, right? And then we create more dysbiosis or maybe a candida overgrowth from the antibiotic overuse as well. And then the mold from the environment is starting to get our immune system more sensitive. Now we're histamine sensitive and now we're going down this mast cell path because now we're going to be on all these mast cell drugs because our immune system is overactive due to environmental allergens coming in, creating histamine, as well as our gut bacteria creating histamine, whether it's Prevotella, Klebsiella, or proteobacteria, because proteobacteria is also associated with AS, irritable bowel disease, like Crohn's or ulcerative colitis, type 1 diabetes. And then you add in maybe some Clostridium. Again, Clostridium can increase IBD, increase colitis, increase Crohn's. So you can see, we start to see like these kind of lab tests that Evan's showing on screen. I'll pull it up again.
No, that's good. I want to go into that too. I want to riff on that.
Okay, cool. But you can see here that we're creating this kind of milieu of bacteria, inflammation, and then you have environmental toxins from the outside, and then you set the perfect storm with foods, antibiotics, and then we have crummy digestion because we're stressed and our sympathetic nervous system's in overdrive. That's the path that we see a lot with patients coming into our office.
Yeah, well said. And here's the other path, the other way you can end up with reactive arthritis or some other autoimmune conditions like this is simply by a UTI. So this is crazy, but there's a couple pieces of literature right here. Reactive arthritis can be brought on by a urinary infection with Proteus, meaning females listening, if you've battled let's say a recurrent UTI, maybe you've already been treated by your gynecologist or, you know, some other practitioners helped you maybe with herbal antibiotics, or maybe you've done regular antibiotics for that. But these UTIs are now being shown to trigger reactive arthritis. And then you could throw in some of these other bugs that you and I've talked about for a decade now, which are parasites. So I had Giardia and I had Crypto years ago. I hope and don't think I had reactive arthritis, but parasites are now shown to cause that as well. So we could look at the bacteria. We can look at the parasites. This can all be done at home with a stool test. And then also Crohn's disease. You mentioned Crohn's and Klebsiella. That's in the literature. Salmonella and the ankylosing spondylitis. That's in the literature as well. So this stuff is out there. This is not just us talking about it. This is real. And we've seen this stuff reverse by fixing the bugs and getting the infections gone, including the parasites right here.
100%. Yeah, 100%. I wanted to just show one thing here because we talk about, you know, it's like a spiral, right? One domino falls, the next falls, and then two more fall, and then three more fall, and it becomes this vicious cycle. Because then patients are now treating the symptoms of the damage and it becomes pretty stressful. Just for instance, I'll just pull one thing up. Okay, Evan talked about a UTI. What was the bacteria for the UTI
that we were talking about? Proteus.
Proteus. So let's say you have a Proteus issue. It starts to create a UTI. Well, guess what's going to happen? You're probably going to get some kind of a fluoroquinolone, right? Antibiotic, right? Whether it's Cipro, ampicillin, kanamycin, right? These are different fluoroquinolone antibiotics. Well, guess what? These fluoroquinolones, they can create mitochondrial toxicity. There's more data and more studies on this. And if you're a guy, it can also go after your tendons and ligaments. So you have increased risk of a Achilles tendon rupture. And so look, right here, although these oral antibiotics are approved by the US FDA for treatment of urinary tract infections and sinusitis, they're commonly prescribed off-label. And then guess what? Serious safety concerns have been identified with long-term neuropsychiatric issues. So it's not even just neuropsychiatric. We also know here, guess what? It impacts the mitochondria. Well, guess what? The mitochondria is the powerhouse of your cell. It's how you generate ATP. So if you have chronic fatigue or brain fog or mood issues, I guarantee you energy right here and your reactive oxygen species, right? They're going to lead to lipid damage as well. Again, this is in vitro, but we know that this is like an older study, 2013. So we know that over the last 10 years, there's way more studies on the fluoroquinolone kind of vicious cycle that we're seeing here as well.
Yeah, people call it getting floxed, right? I think they usually spell it F-L-O-X-E-D. So I've had a lot of emails from people. It's like, hey, I got floxed. Can you help me? And that just means that, yeah, they had UTI or they had some other issue. They got the fluoroquinolone family prescribed to them. They took it. Now, as you mentioned, they have tendon issues. They have RA or some other autoimmune joint condition, and they're in bad shape in a lot of cases.
Yeah, and this is where patients like that, we got to do good quality red light. We got to put good collagen on board. We have to do good things to get our reactive oxygen species down, whether it's nicotinamide adenosine, right? NAD, different types of products, or we're using some kind of a peptide that's going to stimulate tissue healing, maybe orally or injecting. So there's a lot of things we have to do when that kind of damage is created, because that tissue, it's avascular. You don't get a lot of blood flow. So how do you drive nutrition to it when you don't get blood flow? You got to use other functional medicine modalities for sure.
Yeah. And this gets a little bit scary, but there are things we can do on the natural medicine side just to help people feel better. So we're saying, yes, we have to fix the infection, but there are different anti-inflammatory products, herbs, nutrients, enzymes that we can use to give you relief while we're waiting. And a lot of times we'll do that. So for example, it could take sometimes a couple or a few weeks to get lab results back. So we'll often create this starter protocol where we can give you a set of nutrients, maybe that's Boswellia or other things to help tamp down the inflammation while we're waiting. And then once we find the infections, we can say, okay, bingo, here's likely the 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 triggers that are driving your RA. And then let's start working on eliminating those. And I told the story before, I think I interviewed her on my podcast as well. It's been probably a few years, but I had a client who was a therapist and she had what was diagnosed as psoriatic arthritis, and her pain on a scale of 1 to 10 was an 8 or a 9. And when she was a therapist, that this was a brick and mortar practice. So she said that she was in so much pain, she was embarrassed to stand up because the pain, she would like kind of make a face to stand up to greet her, you know, clients when they come in the room. So she would just sit there and just start waving to the patient coming in instead. And then by the time we fixed all the gut bugs, did other nutrients for the gut, her pain was gone and she could put her pants on now without crying. That was her morning, was like crying, putting pants on. So this stuff can be turned around significantly, and it doesn't have to be a life of, I don't know, what's a conventional approach going to be, like ibuprofen and probably what, steroids? I mean, what's a conventional approach going to look like? It's not what we're doing.
Yeah. I mean, I had to pull a reference from my book because I'm finishing the last round of editing, and there was one reference I needed to pull up for ibuprofen. And I think it was, the reference was 16,800 people die a year taking ibuprofen for just rheumatoid, like diagnosed rheumatoid conditions. Well, what about the average person who hasn't seen an MD yet, has chronic pain, and is just taking ibuprofens daily for a few months anyway, right? So these medications, no one really thinks of ibuprofen that you can get at Walgreens, you know, for like $5 or something that is deadly, but it really is. And these medications, they work great. You know, if you bump your head and you need it for a day or two, it's fine. Just if you need it for weeks on end, you need to go see a functional medicine person to really work on getting to the root cause, and or a good soft tissue person. If there's pain in the tissues and the joints, you may need a combination of both people in your corner helping you out.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting about Klebsiella here in the literature is saying here that those with a history of long-term antibiotic use are at risk. So here's the idea, right? You're eating a bunch of dairy, you get a sinus or an ear infection. Like, I had a contractor over my house the other day. This guy's so puffy in his face. You could just hear it in him. I'm like, dude, what's going on with you? Oh, major sinus infection, man. I'm getting antibiotics. Okay, so this guy, sinus infection, he eats dairy. I mean, he's definitely overweight. I mean, I know his diet is garbage. I've talked to him about it. Okay, so he's eating garbage. So now, because he's eating garbage, he gets a sinus infection. He now gets the antibiotic. Well, here in the literature, it's showing that those with the antibiotic use are at an increased risk of Klebsiella. So now you get the Klebsiella overgrowth. Then you get RA. Then you get put on the immunosuppressant or the anti-inflammatory drug. I mean, you see how this thing goes, boom, 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 boom. These steps just knock you down.
Yeah, and this is, I see it all the time, right? You know, if you guys are listening, justinhealth.com/sinusflush. Sinus-flush. That's a link to my video that I give all my patients that have any sinus issues. Start with that. Good clean RO, saline-based, distilled clean water, packet of good healthy saline, whether it's, you know, I recommend the extra, the double. NeoMed makes a double one that's really nice. A drop or two of betadine or providine iodine, or you can sub it for a milliliter of silver. You can go either one on that. And flush out each sinus for 2 to 3 seconds. Use some X-Clear Rescue before and after, because that'll knock out any biofilms. Because a lot of these people, the bacteria, whether it's fungus, mold, resistant staph from like Marcon's or whatever, you got to break down the biofilm. So we're either taking some oral NAC, we're doing some X-Clear Rescue with your six big herbs in there, parsley, podiarco, tea tree, oil of oregano. We're doing the spray, grapefruit, 2 sprays in each nose. We're flushing the cavity out, 3 seconds each nose. Then we do another spray or two. And then I'll take that same saline and we're going to gargle, spread it right in your mouth like it's a water bottle on the football field, squirt, gargle 15 seconds, spit it out, because it starts it. Because a lot of times this junk's running down the back of your throat. It's keeping your lymph nodes swollen. Do that 2 to 3 times a day and get your air filters checked as well. Or make sure you at least have it HEPA with a VOC. Start there. I can't tell you how much of this is a foundation. It's going to save you being put on a Cipro antibiotic and creating lifelong mitochondrial issues too.
And this is not, and yeah, well said on all that. And this is not to brag. This is just a reality of when you take good care of yourself, you take good care of your kids, you have the proper diet, you have the proper nutrients in, you're consistent with working on your gut health, keeping your air clean. Like, half my kids' school has been out sick. Yeah. Like, within the last 3 weeks, like, half the school is just gone. You're talking like vomiting, flu, viral stuff, fevers, diarrhea, you name it. And knock on wood, my kids have been solid. My oldest missed one day because in terms of the timeline of her fever, it was like still within a 24-hour period where she couldn't get back in. So she was out one day. Luckily, it was just maybe a couple hours of a fever and that was it. And so I've worked really hard. I mean, you and I have talked about our journey for the last decade now.
Oh, like, yeah.
It's hard work. I'm not saying that this is so easy. It's hard. It's challenging. But like, even in the middle of the night, I could be up pumping this herb, pumping that herb to help these kids. And so you really have to know that, you know, health in the modern world, it is kind of a marathon. It's not a sprint. So when you guys tune into this, we're not saying like, here's the miracle cure that you take once and you're good forever. No, you're still going to come in contact with all these pathogens. We're still going to be against all of these. It's just a matter of making us, the host, a healthier version. We're getting rid of toxins that are suppressing our immune system. You know, there's a lot of kids at school that I can just see the issues in their face. You know, you'll see dark circles, you'll see rashes, you'll see like eczema stuff. Like, kids are really struggling right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so. 100%. And when we talk about these microbes, these microbes aren't like a flu where you just catch it. I mean, there are definitely microbes where you can get a significant bolus of a parasite or H. pylori or C. diff, and you can have very, very acute symptoms for sure. But a lot of times it's a combination of opportunistic environmental issues, whether it's stress, inflammatory diet, antibiotics, lots of acellular carbs or processed sugar, right? And it's a combination of these things over time, increasing gut permeability, stimulating our toll-like receptors in our centurion guards in our gut, activating the immune system, and then we get more exposed to environmental things in the environment, mold or just, you know, antigens out there in the air, whether it's like danders or pollens, and then your immune system becomes, just goes haywire. And then you're like this, you know, on Singulair or Zyrtec, and you're just chronically in this environment that's stuck. And so again, the gut is going to be a big, big part of it. And so when we talk about these microbes, these aren't things that you just caught like you caught a flu virus. It's going to be something that's going to be worked its way in there over time. So it involves sitting there with a functional medicine provider and really getting to the root and peeling back the onion as we get to the underlying cause.
Yeah, well said. And I think you alluded to this, but just to be clear, if you or your children or your loved one, if they are battling like histamine type issues, allergy type problems, keep in mind in the literature, it's known there's other bacteria that do this. But since we're on the category of autoimmune triggering bacteria, Klebsiella causes histamine problems. So that bacteria is releasing histamine. So if you're eating avocado, pineapple, leftovers, whatever, you're eating higher histamine foods, corn, and you have histamine producing bacteria in the gut, you see how quickly that histamine bucket overflows. Now you're on H1 blockers, H2 blockers, and maybe that's keeping you, quote, functional to where you can still do your life and drive your kids to school and back, but you're really not that healthy because you've got the gut bugs filling that bucket up.
Yeah, exactly. And just kind of just to give you guys a little list, maybe we'll put it up on screen with a little infographic, but we have Prevotella is one bacteria that we see overgrown, associated with a lot of RA, rheumatoid issues. Then we have different things like a Proteus that we already talked about. That's going to have connections with ankylosing spondylitis, along with Klebsiella and Proteus, ankylosing spondylitis, type 1 diabetes, and irritable bowel disease like Crohn's and ulcerative colitis. We have Clostridium difficile, or C. diff. That's going to be another ulcerative colitis or Crohn's type of condition. Bacteroides fragilis can be an MS type of issue. So if that's continuously overrun. And then Fusobacterium, another one we see, RA, rheumatoid arthritis, and irritable bowel disease like Crohn's and ulcerative colitis too. So those are kind of our biggest associations. We could throw maybe H. pylori on there because that's associated with gastric cancer and atrophic gastritis. So that's another one that we see a lot on some of our tests. Anything you want to add, Evan?
Just the gut bugs. Just make sure we're looking at the parasites too. I mean, because I had parasites. And it's Jardia. It's right here in the literature too. It's saying that like crypto could result in reactive arthritis. And it says here, aggressive cases could evolve into ankylosing spondylitis. So meaning if you have a parasite, it could just be diarrhea. Maybe there's fatigue, anxiety, those kind of things, bloating, et cetera. But then this could turn into something worse. So I just encourage people, my advice, I'd say once a year, get a good workup on yourself, spend a little bit of money. Like maybe Disney World's fun, but maybe it's more fun to do a stool test. Like you're going to spend less money than you are at Disney buying, probably $8 for a bottle of water and like $32 for a pizza or something. It's like,
that's crazy.
Come on. So
I know.
I just totally agree. It's sad when I see kids suffering, especially at school too. You know, like you'll hear these parents, "Oh, we got back from Disney, and they spent." I read one post on average, the average family spends $8,000 for a week at Disney, and that's like, you know, car, housing, food, whatever, like tickets. It's like, God, you could have tested your entire family and your grandma for that amount of money. But instead,
that's not even good food either. It's not even good food.
Yeah. But instead you got, you know, cotton candy, pretzels, nachos, cheese. I'm not saying don't make memories, folks. I'm saying have fun with your family. But my God, if you do these workups on yourself, you can feel so much better. I want to have great mobility. I want to have great energy, great sleep. I want to have a good stress response. And I see so many parents especially that are literally hanging on by a thread. Mm-hmm. And if their kids go down, they go down because they can't handle the sickness. We had a friend just this past week, kid got sick, freaks out, it gets too serious, goes to the doctor, boom, antibiotics. Well, here in the literature, we know these antibiotics can allow these other bugs to now come up. So what's going to be the relapse after that that we have to deal with? So it's this game of whack-a-mole, and it's just not a good game to play. We really want to get you all healthy enough to where you can win this and not have to constantly be pumping yourself full of something like an antibiotic to keep these bugs at bay and under control.
100%, Evan. It's really important. So you guys listen and you want to take the next step, you want to dive in deeper, you'll put links down below. You can reach out to Evan at evanbrand.com. See patients worldwide if you want that support. Or myself, Dr. J at justinhealth.com. There'll be links there where you can click, reach out, schedule. Again, we gave you guys some good information. If you're dealing with some of these chronic inflammatory issues, or you're already on that path to having an autoimmune issue due to some chronic inflammation, like the ulcerative colitis, the IBD, maybe it's some kind of MS, or maybe it's another type of autoimmune issue like the ankylosing spondylitis, the chronic joint issue, or it's RA, or psoriatic arthritis on your skin, right? Whatever it is, there's a way that we can avoid jumping on the chronic steroid, the biologics, you know, the things that are going to overly suppress your immune system and set you up for other potential things down the road. There's some ways we can get to the root cause. Again, not saying those things aren't important. Probably better off doing something if you're going to, keep your diet and lifestyle where it is and crummy. But I think is a way that we can reverse it and get people educated and lock in a healthier diet and lifestyle for sure.
Yeah. And the last thing I'll add to that is maybe you don't have a label yet. You threw out some labels that maybe people have already had. Well,
oh, good point.
Yeah, there's so many that don't have a label, and they have the fatigue, they have the joint stuff, they wake up stiff, they think it's normal for their hands to hurt when they make a fist. Even turning the steering wheel in the car, opening a car door, carrying groceries, you know, just some of these mobility things that we just attribute to getting older, and we just brush it off like, oh, my knees hurt. Well, my mom said her knees hurt when I was this age, so I'm just getting older. And we just And there's a lot of people now that maybe have changed their mind on conventional medicine, but they're still not getting root cause, right? So they just live with this like sub-pathological level of disease, and they just feel like crap. And so then they just drink a couple beers on a Friday and call it good.
And that's a really good point, Evan, because the average person is dealing with these chronic symptoms, whether it's on their skin, hair, guts, joints, mood, cognitive. These symptoms are there for typically 5 to 10 years, typically about a decade before they even get a label connected to it. And then a lot of times the medications that are recommended are palliative and they're not really getting to the root cause. And then a lot of times they're going to have their own host of side effects. For instance, let's say prednisone is recommended. Well, now your chance for osteoporosis goes up, diabetes and blood sugar goes up, the chance of vascular issues to the eyes and other parts of the heart go up, right? So you can see you're just trading one over here for something else over there. So we really want to get to the root and try to have low-hanging fruit that literally has only side benefits, no side effects.
I know. Isn't that interesting when clients ask that? Like you'll put together this amazing protocol. I'm like, what side effects should I expect? You know, they're just coming from someone who's been on like 5-10 medications. I'm like, side effects. Let me see. So maybe a little bit of bowel changes, okay, like if we're killing bugs, but beyond that, feel better, sleep better, more energy, better sex drive, less bloating, like those are your side effects. So
yeah, and a lot of times if someone's immune system's oversensitive, you know, because their immune system's all jacked up, sometimes just going slow with everything can be helpful because any small change could be an issue. And so we always like to go slow with people that have a lot of these environmental sensitivities from mold and gut permeability. And so, yeah, always set the foundation and then we kind of move levers one at a time. Yep. I like that.
Yep. And just to be clear, what are we trying to do here? We're trying to educate you all on the connection between your gut and your symptoms. And us as practitioners, we've helped thousands of people worldwide. So we encourage you to reach out so we can help you. We'll hold your hand for a little bit of time. We'll help get the proper data because if you don't test, you've guessed. And we'll help with that data and we'll help organize that and prioritize that for you so that we can get you on your way to feel better and be more productive, make more money, be a better parent. Whatever you want to do, it's important to fix these things because if you don't have your health, you don't have wealth, in my opinion. So if you want to reach out, Dr. J, justinhealth.com, or me, Evan Brand, evanbrand.com. We'll look forward to seeing y'all again soon.
Yeah, some people were writing on the chat about what labs we recommend. Typically, we like to make recommendations specific to the patient at a new patient consult because there's a lot of labs that we have kind of in our palette, if you will, and we like to really make those recommendations kind of more customized. So if someone's writing in, they're like, hey, we want to work with you. We want to get a lab ahead of time. Typically, wait till you get to see us at a new patient consult, and then we'll be able to make a more specific recommendation.
All right, well, take good care. We'll see you again soon.
All right, guys, take care. Have a great day. Bye, y'all.
Hope you enjoyed that episode. You know, the gut's deep, and when you think about the connection between your mood, your sleep, your hormones, even your stress response and how that's connected to your gut, it's amazing. You know, years ago when I had gut issues, it was just a disaster. My mood was messed up, my sleep, my nervous system was messed up. I was just stuck in this weird, like, fight or flight sympathetic overdrive just by having these gut bugs. And just after fixing my gut, everything calmed down. So if you feel like the dial of chaos is too high in your life, I would encourage you, if you're a do-it-yourself person, if you've got a little bit of brain power, a little bit of time, maybe at night you could sit down for an hour or two and poke through the course, you ought to check out betterbellycourse.com. That is my functional medicine training course. We've had over 1,300 students in that course now. And at betterbellycourse.com, you can read the whole curriculum. We have an amazing page there where you can look at the breakdown of each module, anything from the one-on-one clinical protocol creation, meaning you'll literally actually be able to kind of sit in there on these calls and watch how I talk to these people and how I break apart their labs and then how we make protocols based on that. You'll be able to look at a parasite and worm infection module. We have mold and mycotoxins bonuses. I have a whole section on stomach acid and restoring digestive enzymes. We talk about H. pylori, Clostridia, antibiotic-resistant infections, you name it, it's in there. And also right now, the current special is you get a free GI map stool test. So if you're in the US or Canada, you get a free GI map stool test with the enrollment. So that's betterbellycourse.com. I hope you'll join us there. And there's so much more to come with new content. As you all send in questions, I create new videos and add it into the course. So betterbellycourse.com. Take your hands and apply them to yourself. You can fix yourself, I promise. And if you can't and you need further help, evanbrand.com, you can go there and you can set up a consult with me. I'd be happy to help you. I also have another functional medicine provider on staff, so we're happy to help you all, and we love doing what we do. Check out the hydration essentials. They're back in stock. Get you some electrolytes. The weather's starting to warm up, but I hope that you can go ahead and start balancing your electrolytes now. Even in the wintertime, you can still be dehydrated and minerally imbalanced, especially if you have mold toxicity. It's going to really screw up antidiuretic hormone, meaning you have frequent urination, you're up to go pee. Those things can be remedied by adding in helpful nutrients like the taurine that's inside of my hydration essentials. So get you some, try it with some ice water that's filtered. Let me know how much you love it. Obviously, we have the grass-fed beef organs. The carnivore collagen's been a huge, great seller. I just literally had a smoothie made of it this morning with the kids. We did 2 scoops of the chocolate carnivore collagen. We did a handful of organic blueberries, filtered water, ice, and blended it, and it was phenomenal. And my little daughter, she is now able to suck through a straw. So we got her one of those big old fat silicone straws, and she could get some smoothie that way too. It's about 96% collagen. We get it from Sweden. It's a very high quality grass-fed beef protein. So if you're looking for something to help stabilize your blood sugar, maybe your appetite's not the best in the morning, or maybe you're eating solid food and you just need something extra to top you off, so that way you feel satiated and strong, carnivore collagen is great. The vanilla is amazing too, but the chocolate is definitely a bestseller. So that is carnivore collagen. I think you'll love it. I've got a whole 30, 40 products. I can't keep up with all of them, but check out auraroots.com. That's auraroots.com. Get yourself some professional nutrients, and I hope you love it. And if you need further help, you can always reach out at my site, evanbrand.com. Take good care. I'll see you soon.